All right, I've been thinking about where to actually start with Curtis Mayfield, because there's this temptation to jump straight to People Get Ready or Superfly. But the real story begins much earlier, in Chicago, in the church, in the late 1950s.
Exactly. And the key idea here is that you can't separate the music from the geography. Chicago in the 1950s was a city being remade by the Great Migration. Hundreds of thousands of black Americans had moved north from the south, and they brought their church traditions with them.
So the church wasn't just a spiritual space, it was a cultural anchor for communities that were still finding their footing in a new city.
Right. And that's where Curtis Mayfield grew up, born June 3, 1942, on Chicago's north side. He was surrounded by gospel from the start. One of the groups that shaped him early was the Northern Jubilee Gospel Singers. That harmonic tradition, the call and response, the layered voices, it never left his songwriting.
Now, the group that would become the Impressions didn't start as the Impressions. Walk everyone through how that actually came together.
So the roots go back to a vocal group called the Roosters. Sam Gooden and brothers Richard and Arthur Brooks were at the core of it. Mayfield and Jerry Butler joined them, and by 1958 they had signed their first record contract with a subsidiary of VJ Records. That's when the name The Impressions took hold.
And almost immediately they had a hit. For Your Precious Love, 1958. But here's the thing that's fascinating about that record.
It was credited to Jerry Butler and The Impressions, not the group as a whole. And that created a real tension. Butler had this deep, commanding baritone that the label wanted to spotlight. The song became an early example of the distinctly soulful Chicago sound, lightly gospelized, emotionally direct, but it also set up a dynamic that couldn't last.
So not a clean origin story. More like a fault line from the beginning.
Exactly. Butler left The Impressions that same year to pursue a solo career. But here's what's remarkable. Mayfield didn't cut ties. He kept writing and playing for Butler. Think of He Will Break Your Heart, released in 1960. Mayfield wrote it, played on it, and that song's gospel structure helped establish a blueprint for Chicago soul through the following decade.
So Mayfield was essentially building the Chicago soul template while still technically working outside his own group. That's a strange position to be in.
It is. But it also shows you how his mind worked. He wasn't precious about credit. He was building a sound. And when The Impressions came back, now as a trio with Mayfield, Sam Gooden and Fred Cash, they returned to the charts in 1961 with Gypsy Woman. That's when his falsetto really reached a wider audience.
Mm-hmm. And the falsetto is interesting because it's not just a vocal choice. It connects back to gospel, to the high tenor leads in black church music.
Precisely. And then there's his guitar. Mayfield was self-taught, and he tuned his instrument to F-sharp major, an open tuning that gave his playing this shimmering, almost otherworldly quality. It didn't sound like mainstream rock or blues. It had a delicacy that matched the emotional register of his lyrics.
For someone listening who's used to thinking of soul guitar as gritty and raw, Mayfield's approach was almost the opposite.
Right. It was melodic, introspective, and that guitar sound became inseparable from The Impressions' identity. By 1963, It's All Right topped the rhythm and blues chart and reached number 4 on the pop chart. Chicago soul had arrived, lightly gospelized R&B, sophisticated arrangements, brass and string backing, melodic vocals.
Wait, so the gospel harmonies weren't just an aesthetic choice. They were doing cultural work.
That's the whole point. The group's gospel-derived harmonies transferred church-based vocal traditions directly into secular soul music. And Mayfield understood that the church had always been a space where black dignity was affirmed. He was moving that affirmation onto the radio, into living rooms, into the mainstream.
So by the time Keep On Pushing came out in 1964, reaching number 8 on the pop album chart, The Impressions weren't just making hits. They were making a public language.
Exactly. Keep On Pushing was one of their first major songs to explicitly connect uplift with the social experience of African Americans. The music combined love songs, devotional elements, and reflections on conditions in black urban America. That combination, that's what made it resonate so deeply.
The takeaway from all of this is that The Impressions' sound wasn't accidental. It was built from the ground up, from the church, from Chicago's streets, from Mayfield's very particular way of hearing the world.
And that foundation made everything that followed possible. In our next lecture, we'll get into the peak of the civil rights era and how People Get Ready became an unofficial anthem for a generation on the move. That song didn't come from nowhere. It came from exactly what we've been talking about today.